before a storm struck the Indiana State Fair last night, but no one could anticipate the wind would be so strong. A rogue gust estimated at 60 to 70 miles per hour toppled a stage where the country music act, Sugarland, was about to perform. Five people were killed, dozens injured. Police are investigating the kidnapping of an American in Pakistan. They say they have no leads after questioning the guards at his house. Gunmen kidnapped development expert 70-year-old Warren Weinstein, who is in poor health, before dawn yesterday in the city of Lahore. According to Mexican police, 11 people have been killed in violent attacks over the weekend in the Pacific Coast resort of Acapulco. Eight of the killings occurred today. In one incident, four men were gunned down by assailants firing from two passing cars. I'm Ron Allen.
Attention! If you're a U.S. resident and need affordable medical insurance, you're now eligible for medical care benefits regardless of any pre-existing conditions. That's right. You can now get affordable medical care coverage from A-plus rated health insurance companies, even if you have pre-existing health conditions. If you don't have medical benefits or are currently paying high rates, you're now eligible for medical benefits at affordable prices. Toll-free lines are now open. Get the coverage you need. 800-914-2880. Fidelity Health is offering low-cost, high-quality coverage with low copays and no annual deductibles. This is not a discount card. Plans include doctor visits, labs, x-rays, hospital stays, even surgeries. Acceptance is guaranteed if you're under 65, but you must call now. 800-914-2880. Our enrollment specialists are waiting to hear from you. Call 800-914-2880. That's 800-914-2880. Again, 800-914-2880.
A lawyer is calling for the release of a U.S. tourist detained in Aruba in connection with the disappearance of his travel companion. The attorney, Michael Lopez, said there is no evidence on which to hold Gary Giordano. The Maryland man is being held while authorities investigate the disappearance of 35-year-old Robin Gardner, Giordano's traveling companion. Tropical storm Gerd has formed in the Atlantic, and forecasters say it could approach Bermuda as early as tonight, though its center is still about 275 miles away. Gert's top winds are just 40 miles an hour, but they could get stronger as Gert gets closer to Bermuda. Herman Cain said his campaign's momentum is growing and he still believes he can win the nomination for the presidency. The Georgia businessman ended up with 9% of the votes in the Iowa straw poll yesterday. That was good enough for fifth place. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Captain Mike Parker of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department in California said one of their substations was besieged by phone calls on Friday night. Most of them were hang-ups.
Within an hour, they figured out that it was a tweet from a rapper telling people that he was offering an internship working for him if they would call this phone number. Well, that phone number is the Compton Sheriff Station helpline for the public.
When the sheriff's department tweeted the rapper to remove the police station phone number from the original tweet, the response was mocking.
There was a tweet saying that it was an accident and then some type of taunting comment. It wasn't very impressive.
Captain Mike Parker said the prank tweet created a real risk.
The members of the public that were in desperate need of help, that we were so busy answering prank calls, we couldn't answer their calls in a timely manner, and frankly, we're not sure if we got to everyone.
Political correspondent Tom Beaumont reports Tim Pawlenty was not perceived as someone who could win in 2012.
People did not find him a compelling candidate. They thought he looked good on paper, two-term governor of a swing state, battled Democrats, battled, you know, tough budget battles and stuff like that. But they couldn't really see him being somebody who could go up against Barack Obama.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers and regular...
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Today is a day for books, and we are so pleased to have two wonderful authors on the show. We do receive many books here on Animals Today to review and wish we could get to them all, but I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from these two writers. Later in the show, Catherine Themrisch will be on with her super book about animal friends. But first, I'd like to welcome Dale Peterson, award-winning author who is here to talk about his new book called The Moral Lives of Animals. And I will tell you, this is a fascinating and rich book in which Dale Peterson explores the morality of animals, in which he argues that it's a complex system with strong similarities to human morality. Dale is a former carpenter, a world traveler, and a Psychology Today blogger. His first book was on the history of psychiatry, after which he wrote four books about computers. Welcome to the program, Dale.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lori.
Dale, listeners may be surprised that such a concept even exists, animals having a moral dimension. So how do you define morality?
Well, I think of morality as an evolutionary development, and I define it as that system of behaviors that enables individuals to live in groups. So, morality is what keeps us from killing each other and from stealing from each other and from violating each other in any number of ways. And animals have very similar systems, codes that keep them from violating each other in ways that would destroy group living. So this is a characteristic of all group living animals.
And is this a scientific definition? And how do we know, Dale, morality when we see it? What's the structure of morality?
Well, the structure is, I think of it as two parts. There's the structure that I call attachments morality that's based upon things like cooperation and kindness, empathy, compassion, and then the other part is what I call rules morality. And that's comparable to, the rules that we know from our own lives, say the Ten Commandments. It may seem odd to think of animals as having Ten Commandments, and it's true that they, they can't talk, so they don't talk about their commandments. But, animals living in groups don't kill each other. And even highly predatory animals that, think nothing about killing a member of another species, when they come to their own species, they don't. A good example would be dogs who are descended from wolves, of course. And, I have two dogs here, and they're highly predatory. When they see a squirrel, they go nuts, and they chase squirrels. If they catch a squirrel, they will kill a squirrel. But if I take them out to the park and they see other dogs, they see a squirrely little dog that, kind of acts like a squirrel and is kind of the size of a squirrel or at least as vulnerable as a squirrel, they never try to kill that dog. So they want to play. What's the difference? Well, they recognize, this is a member of our own species, and they have a code that applies to members of their own species. I call this a moral code.
Interesting. Okay, so explain to us what brought you to write this book in the first place.
Well, you know, I learned about animals from a couple of great experts. One was Jane Goodall. And I've known Jane Goodall for 20 years, and she and I wrote a book together which introduced me to chimpanzees. I went to Africa to study chimps with her, and I also traveled in the United States and looked at chimpanzees and situations in the United States, and the result was a book that she and I co-authored. So I knew about chimps. I also wrote another book about primates, other than chimps and gorillas and bonobos and other primates, with one of the world's great experts, a Harvard professor named Richard Wrangham. So with this background knowledge, I had some sense of, you know, the behavior at least of primates, enough to have an inclination about behavioral systems. Then, one day about 4 years ago, I was at a dinner party sitting across the table from a very distinguished economist, and he and I got into an argument, a real argument, about whether animals had morality. And I had enough of a knowledge to believe they did, but not enough to really win the argument. So it was one of these arguments where I had an opinion, he had an opinion, and we both were pretty strong about it. At the end of the dinner table argument and at the end of the party, my host, who was a philosopher and friend of mine, said to me, you know, Dale, that was really interesting. You should write a book about it. So every time I saw him after that, he would say, well, Dale, have you started writing your book about the morality of animals? And I said, well, not yet. I'm busy. But eventually I did. And so in doing that, I expanded my knowledge quite a bit. But I already knew from working with Jane Goodall, that chimps have an incest taboo, which we normally think of as something learned and something, you know, that cultural that people have. But chimps do the same thing. They resist mating with close relatives. And they have an entire social system that's in part based upon the avoidance of mating with close relatives. This is actually true of a large number of animals. Elephants, for example. I've written a book about elephants. And they also have the systems for avoiding incest. True of baboons. It's true of a number of other animals, probably many, many.
Dale, is human morality different from animal morality?
Well, absolutely. You know, each species is unique, and humans are unique. And one of the obviously distinctive things about humans, but probably, you know, at the top of the list would be humans have language. So we talk about morality, and we even write it down, and we even teach it through language. And we even come to the conclusion, it's a false conclusion, that you can't have morality without language. But, you know, language is just a frosting on the cake. And you can have morality without language. If you think about it, if you and I couldn't speak, and even if you and I were not very analytical, not deep thinkers, you know, we would still have morality. We would still be living in social systems. We would still have emotional responses to people around us. People would mm-hmm. do things that we would like, and people would do things that we would hate. And we would figure out what we liked and what we didn't hate, and we would respond. And eventually, you know, if we lived in a society where all the people around us couldn't speak and even couldn't think very deeply because they couldn't talk about what was going on, they'd still, you know, develop a social system based upon what individuals like and what individuals hate about other individuals. And that mm-hmm. social system becomes a moral system.
Would you say that some non-human species are more moral than others?
Well, it's a good question, and I prefer not to think that. When I talk about the morality of animals, I'm really talking about mammals. And there are some distinctive things about mammals, I think. So I don't get into morality of reptiles or insects because they're just so far from our own lives that I think, you know, I think an argument could be made, but it probably wouldn't be convincing for a lot of readers, whereas I think the argument for mammals is pretty strong. among the mammals, there are certainly some that just remind us so much of ourselves that it's very hard to avoid seeing what I'm talking about. And I think particularly elephants, who are among, you know, the mammals and have probably the highest level of empathy of most other species, at least. They're very, very empathetic animals, so much so that they, you know, they help each other when they're in trouble. They sometimes help even individuals from other species. So there are stories of, you know, humans being rescued by elephants that I think are probably true. And there are certainly stories of other animals being rescued by elephants. I know that elephants rescue each other, and there's plenty of documentation about that.
We're listening to Dale Peterson. He's an award-winning author who is here to talk about his new book, The Moral Lives of Animals. It's such a great book. You're listening to Animals Today, and I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. This is your home for serious talk about animals. This show tackles the important issues concerning all animals and how they are treated by people, their place in society. And, of course, we promote greater respect for and kindness towards all living creatures. If you want to receive a weekly newsletter about the show information and important updates about animals, you can subscribe to the Animals Today email list right there on our website, animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com. You're listening to Dr. Lori Kirshner, and we are speaking to great author Dale Peterson, The Moral Lives of Animals. Don't go away.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're out!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Passion, who is a cannibal.
Yes.
She was a mother. Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Dale Peterson about his new book, The Moral Lives of Animals. Dale, how much of morality in mammals is hardwired, and how much is learned as part of a culture?
Well, I think, separating hardwired, what you're given by evolution and learned is a mistake. So there. Hardwired itself is a term I don't really like because it implies sort of rigid instinct. And so I really think of it as emotional systems that combine with cultural systems to produce moral systems. Emotional and cultural combined I call psychosocial. I simply don't separate them. For example, all of the getting back to human morality, all of the Ten Commandments, we think of them as strictly social, we think of them as strictly learned, but they're not. They're both psychological. I think they emerge from our sense of ourselves and what we want and what we need, our emotional sense, and then they're communicated socially. So that's what I mean by psychosocial.
Very good. In the book, Dale, you visit the book Moby Dick quite often, and lead each chapter with a Melville Moby Dick quote. What is the importance of this classic novel in your thesis?
Well, I think it's the only novel in famous literature. There may be some novels unknown or barely known, but in terms of classical literature, it's the only novel that has an animal as a major character or protagonist. That's why I started thinking about it. And there are lots of questions about this whale, the great white whale. Does this whale have morality? Does this whale have will? Is this whale capable of malice? And how do you react to that when you see another species that seems to be making moral choices? What is your reaction? So I think that, the structure of the book and the ideas of the book kind of helped me build the structure of my own book, and that's how I used it. I will also say my wife teaches literature at MIT. She's a professor at MIT, and she teaches. She's an expert on Moby Dick, so it was the source of some nice conversations between myself and my wife.
Good deal. You tell the story of a chimpanzee named Passion who is a cannibal.
Yes.
She was a mother, but from time to time she killed and then ate other mothers' babies.
Yeah.
How can that be moral?
Well, the funny thing is that one of the reviewers of my book raised the same question. And, in a way, it's kind of a silly question. It's like somebody taking a look at the human species and then pointing out an evil person like, say, Colonel Gaddafi or Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. somebody who's really bad, and then say, isn't this evidence that humans are not moral? Well, of course it's not. It's an evidence of variety in humans, And in some ways, it's an evidence of human morality because these people are so exceptional. You know, if all of humans were Adolf Hitler, then yes, I wouldn't call us a moral species. But, you know, Adolf Hitler is an evil man, but he was extraordinarily exceptional, and that's why we know he's evil. Similarly with Passion, you know, the chimpanzee Passion, who did indeed, you know, consume other mothers' babies, and at least four babies that are known of. So she was a cannibal. But at the same time that she was doing this, you know, chimps do hunt, and they do eat other species. And so at the same time she was doing this, during the same period every year, there were a group of males who were hunting in this in the same chimpanzee community. They were hunting an average of 206 monkeys per year outside the species, whereas this little female was eating within the species. So she was violating the moral code. Nobody else was. So, you know, like the case of Gaddafi, like the case of Adolf Hitler, the case of Passion chimpanzee is an exception that proves the rule.
What, if anything, does this book tell us about human morality?
Well, I think it helps us look back at human morality and think more deeply about it. And I think it's a demonstration. You know, all of the examples I have of animal morality I take from dozens and dozens and dozens of species. So my argument is that morality is an evolutionary phenomenon. You can take that back and look at humans again, and you can see how humans also have this same evolutionary system. And it's true that we can modify it, we can talk about it through language, and we have a lot of flexibility because we have language and analysis. You know, the classic case of moral flexibility is the case of slavery, which 200 years ago people thought was a pretty moral thing. You know, there was lots of arguments in favor of slavery because slavery was the God-given nature of the world, that some people were obedient to others by the instructions of God. And people even used the Bible to argue this. Then suddenly something changed. Well, what changed was not human morality didn't change, but our stress of morality. We suddenly realized, you know, the obedience rule is not as important as our need for empathy and compassion. So there were parts of the moral system that were in conflict. We could talk about it. And, you know, culturally we could learn from each other. That's what humans have.
Yeah, it's too bad that many humans don't recognize the moral value of animals.
Yes.
Dale, Darwin's general theory of evolution was accepted in the scientific community during his lifetime, but mostly as an explanation of how animals evolved physically.
Yeah.
He wrote that emotional, psychological, and mental continuity were far more challenging concepts. What would you guess Charles Darwin would think about your book?
You know, I think he would love my book, and I, obviously I'm maybe patting myself on the back a bit, or more than a bit, but it's true that Darwin saw very much the idea, as you've just stated it, that, you know, evolution is not merely about anatomical continuity between species, it's about psychological and emotional continuity, and when we speak of morality, we're speaking of emotional continuity. So Darwin, in fact, talked about, you know, the likelihood of morality among animals, and there are some nice quotes in his later work in which he says, you know, animals have social instincts, which in us humans we call moral. So he was very much aware that this would be an issue eventually developing from his theory, but he was also aware that people weren't ready to talk about it. And so the first...
Dale, I'm great... Yes, we in the interest of time, we got to wrap it up, and
okay.
I'm so grateful you decided to write about animals instead of computers, and I'm looking forward to reading some of your previous books, and I know you're working on a new one about giraffes, so I'll be anxious to read that as well. Dale Peterson, it's DalePetersonAuthor.com. The book is The Moral Lives of Animals. It is serious, fun, challenging, delightful, and a lot more. Perfect for anyone who cares about animals. Dale Peterson, thanks for appearing on Animals Today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lori.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
Calling people using long distance was draining my wallet. So to save money, I'm only calling people with toll-free numbers. Do any of my friends have them? No. Any family members? Nope. You know, no one I call has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to GEICO.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free pension and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
The thing about hemorrhoids is they don't just bother you at home. On a plane, the pain can be nonstop to Seattle. On a train, you can have a little burning back there in your own caboose. But now, just carry new Preparation H Totables. Discreet little tubes of pain relief cream, burning relief gel, or irritation relief wipes. For the big relief you count on from Preparation H, the brand doctors recommend most by name among leading brands. New Preparation H Totables. The Anywhere Preparation H. Use as directed.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Catherine Timmish joins us now, and her new book is entitled Friends, True Stories of Extraordinary Animal Friendships. It's a beautiful book everybody seems to like. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Lori.
Catherine, first off, it's really just a fabulous book visually. Every one of these pictures just makes you want to smile. Describe the concept and the approach to this book.
Well, thank you. I wanted to do a book ideally the age group is for young children, preschool and up, but it's finding an audience with older kids and adults as well. I wanted to grab that theme of friendship that is so important for young kids and the idea of tolerance of different people and people who are different than you and kind of approach it in a way that was not a moralistic tale and not beating you over the head with the idea. And I had been thinking about these interspecies animal friendships ever since I saw the wonderful photos of Owen and Emsie back after the tsunami, and have been keeping my eye out for these true stories of interspecies animal friends. And the book came together after a few years of pulling together pictures and trying to find a way to convey to kids, again, you know, friendship without boundaries.
It seems that people really do like to give this book as a gift to a friend, as if to say, you are my friend. And Catherine, that is a real achievement. You've created a book people want to give to their friends. Catherine, one friendship you depict in the book is between a camel and a Vietnamese pig. How did that happen?
Oh, isn't that wonderful? I found that and connected with the photographer, and he wasn't actually commissioned to photograph this pair. They're in Siberia, and he was at the zoo, with his, I believe, a young boy, and was watching this animal interaction that was not a brief encounter. The Vietnamese little pig kept going over to the fence and trying to get the camel's attention, and finally the camel would saunter over and bend down for the pig, and he captured that wonderful photo that is in the book. And then, in the research, I wanted to know, was this a one-time encounter? But it turns out that this particular pig and camel have a friendship that is over a fence. There is a wooden posts that divide them, but they hang out together on their respective sides quite frequently.
These interspecies relationships are so darn cute, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And what I love about them is I wanted to take it one step beyond the cuteness factor and find the authenticity behind the friendships. There are a lot of photos that I have found that are just adorable as all get out, but it turns out that someone has staged the photo, for example, and it still makes for a cute photo. But one of the things that I wanted to focus on in this book was really the truly authentic friendships where perhaps the animals found each other within a sanctuary or within a zoo setting, or there's one example of a very brief relationship between a mouse and a frog. And I say in the text, the mouse is actually riding on the frog's back, and it's a beautiful, beautiful image. But it was a very brief encounter. But I think that's applicable to human friendships, of course, as well, that, you know, friendships come in all shapes and sizes and in lengths of time, and it's just a beautiful and darling way to convey that sentiment, I think.
I love the fact that none of your photos are staged shots. Catherine, here's a little rhyme found in the book, and I'd like to read it. A friend helps, a boost, a lift, a ride piggyback. A friend is someone who takes up the slack. Are you the author of all the poems?
I am. I am. I wrote the book. What I wanted to do is I wanted the book to work on a couple of levels. The poems, that carry throughout the book I have written, and I wanted them to speak to general themes of friendship, what a friend can do for one another, and also that is applicable to the particular animal on that is paired with that poem, but more in a general sense as well. And then I didn't want to just leave it at the poems. I wanted to be sure to give the true story behind the animal pair that's shown, and therefore there's you know the paragraph of the behind the scenes of how those animals became friends and how long they have been friends. When I'm reading the book to a group or to kids, I do it two different ways. I usually just read the book straight through and read the poems only. It's a very quick and lovely, easy read, and the kids get to see the photos right away, and then go back and ask, which is your favorite animal pair, and let's find out the story behind that animal pair. Of course, when I do that, it turns out all of them are their favorite animal pairs, so that works out great, too.
Right. Here's another rhyme. No matter who has a snout or a beak, connecting with friends is something to seek. It's really great. It gives you these subtle messages, Catherine, subtle messages of tolerance, etc. It's really wonderful.
Well,
another picture I like, another picture I really like, a polar bear befriending a sled dog.
Isn't that a lovely one? That
yes.
And that friendship took place over 10 days, and in this is in the wild, and in the normal circumstances, the polar bear would attack, if not gobble up, the sled dog, and the scientists and the photographers on site were very fearful that was exactly what was going to happen, and instead the polar bear just wanted a friend to play with.
What's your favorite one?
Well, I love them all, of course. One of my favorites is the Maoshan and Mushi, the Asiatic bear and black cat, and one of the reasons I love that story is because there is. This took place in the Berlin Zoo, so the Asiatic bear was in an outdoor enclosure with other bears. The cat came out of nowhere. There was absolutely no human interaction other than, of course, the bear being in the zoo to begin with, but no human interaction whatsoever. And, in fact, when the zookeepers saw this black cat roaming around the bear enclosure, they were quite afraid for the cat, and we're trying to lure it out. And this Maoshan, the Asiatic bear, actually went over and protected the cat, Mushi, from the other Asiatic bears, and the cat would not leave the enclosure. And this friendship went on for over a decade. And in fact, when the bear was sick and had to be moved into an indoor enclosure for monitoring and health reasons, they moved the bear and ignored the cat because the cat wasn't, an official part of the zoo. And for days, Mushi the cat roamed the zoo looking for the bear on its own until he found the bear and stayed outside, pressed up against the glass, and then the zookeepers finally decided, oh, you know what, I think we better let her in, and they did. And I just find that such a lovely story, and who can explain, a cat and this large bear that could, in fact, and would do it harm, and yet was, in fact, protecting the cat from the other bears, and it's just such a beautiful story.
I love that story. Catherine, how can people learn about you and purchase the book?
Well, the book is available at your independent bookstores, at the Barnes & Noble and Chains, and online at Amazon.com. I have a website at www.catherinetimish.com. You can Google the title of the book, and that will pop up. My website will pop up. There's a lovely little video. It's about 90 seconds long, that's on YouTube, also on my website, that would give people a real good flavor for the book, showing interior photos and text layout, and with a lovely original song and about friendship and tolerance. That's real fun as well.
The love of all species. Catherine, unrelated, I read you are a skydiver, which is something I would never do. What is it about voluntarily jumping out of a plane that you enjoy?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I can't actually call myself a true skydiver because I've only done it three times, and I have only done tandem jumps because I'm old. That's as far as my, I can't do it on my own. But it is quite the experience. It is definitely a fun, I would say, something everybody should experience at one point.
Catherine Timmish, the book is Friends, True Stories of Extraordinary Animal Friendships. Thanks for appearing on Animals Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org. Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Back to Animals Today. Hi, Pizza Man.
Hello, Lori. How are you?
We're good.
You know, listening to Catherine, it made me think of a little... Before we go into the news, do you remember when we were out of a vacation? I think we were in Santa Fe and we saw this sort of street performer.
Yes!
And he had three animals. Are they friends? No.
Yeah.
Describe this.
It was a dog.
Right. And a cat.
A cat.
And a mouse.
And a mouse or a rat.
Right.
And he trained.
Right.
He was out there asking for money.
Right.
And he had a gathering of people around him. He trained the cat to jump on the back of a dog and the mouse or the rat to jump on the back of the cat.
Right.
So they were in a little pyramid there.
Right.
And you know that training was forced.
Yes.
It's not a...
That disturbed you so much.
Disturbed me a lot. It was totally staged.
Did you yell at this guy? I can't remember.
Yes, I did yell at this guy a little bit.
Yes.
Well, he was asking money for it. He was just exploiting these animals, and you know how he trained them. You think it's natural for a cat to jump on a dog's back and a rat to jump on a cat's back on top of the dog?
Right. That's why I like Catherine's authenticity.
Peter, it's funny. I thought of that exact same time, yes, when Catherine was describing her book.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, okay. Let's move on.
Okay. You know the group Traffic, which is the wildlife trade monitoring network. I got a couple of stories from Traffic today.
Yeah.
First, a couple of very tough sentences were handed down for a couple of Vietnamese nationals who were convicted of smuggling rhino horns in South Africa. So these two fellows, they were found in possession of the horns. One of them received 10 years in prison, plus 2 extra years for fraud related to a different investigation. Another guy, 8 years, plus 2 for fraud. This is for just possession of the rhino horns.
Wow.
Okay, so they are in South Africa cracking down very strongly on poachers and the traffickers. In the past year, so far this year, 20 poachers have been killed in South Africa related to law enforcement actions. So it continues to be a big problem. They're taking it seriously, and hopefully they're going to just end this problem. But it's quite lucrative, as you know. It's going to be a long battle, one of the commentators says.
Are the rhino horns really an interest?
Yeah, they're used for various things and so-called medicinal purposes and trophies and things. And
Yeah.
So that's ongoing. Just the other day was a global Tiger Day that was celebrated in the 13 Tiger Range countries. You know, the percentage of the number of naturally wild roaming tigers in Southeast Asia is decreasing tremendously. It's down 95% since 1990. Okay, and there are only about 3,200 wild tigers surviving worldwide due to poaching and, you know, decreased in their in their range.
So unfortunate.
So National Tiger Day, which occurred in those countries, is to try to raise people's awareness, and especially of children, about the that you shouldn't really use tigers as part of your tonics or other kinds of products. You know, there's still a lot of interest in using the parts and tigers and potions and ground up stuff for medicinal purposes and other kinds of nonsense.
Yeah.
So hope, and this is, you know, pushed by WWF. So hopefully people will start, you know, learn.
Do you remember that house we walked into several years back and we saw that tiger skin as a rug on the floor?
Right.
Oh, my God. Was that disgusting?
I know. It really changes how you look at someone when you see that in their den.
Oh, totally changed my judgment of this person.
Yeah. What is that
That's
doing
it.
There?
Yep.
Yeah. Ah. Okay, now more locally to Los Angeles. You know, the L.A. Animal shelters, they're under investigation. A lot of things are going down there presently. First, there was a controversy about a fraud related to the hours that the employees are working. So five employees are under administrative leave for how often they're working there, time card fraud. Then there was an allegation that some of the shelter workers were stealing animals and selling them for profit, personal profit. And then most recently, there's believed to be some missing guns in the department. You know, the animal control officers are issued firearms, and some of them are felt to be missing. So an investigation is ongoing for that.
Wow.
So there's a lot of scrutiny in the department right now, and a big shakeup is happening on lots of levels in Los Angeles.
Throughout many of the L.A. shelters?
Well, the whole system.
Wow.
The whole L.A. County of L.A. system. And another more happy story from Los Angeles is that the city council recently instructed the Department of Animal Services to draft a law which would ban the commercial breeding of dogs, cats, rabbits, and chickens in L.A., and also the sale of factory-bred animals in pet stores.